Good morning. Welcome to those who are joining us online today as well. Last Sunday, we celebrated Christ the King Sunday, and we celebrated that this is where all of this ends up, that there will be a new creation with Jesus, our King of Kings, a mighty warrior victorious who has put every enemy under his feet, and the last enemy to be destroyed is death. So having just celebrated the joy of the end of the story last week with the last Sunday of the church year, now this week, with the first Sunday of Advent, we turn back the pages and the church year starts all over again from the beginning of the story. So where does the story begin? Well, although this story has been unfolding for generations, for us, for you and for me, our Advent journey begins where his story meets ours, where God's story connects with your story and mine. And that doesn't start with a scene of glory, does it? Advent reminds us that our God didn't expect us to be able to climb up and find him in the place of his glory. But instead, seeing our need in mercy, he humbled himself to meet us where we are, to enter into the place of our deepest need, even to the point of death on a cross. Our Advent story starts at the places where we know that we need rescue, where we need God, in our hopelessness, our sadness, in the places where we feel trapped and alone, the places of our deepest need, because that's where our Savior comes to find us. So in Advent, that's where the story begins, in darkness, looking for hope. And I think Advent works particularly well here in Minnesota because we have so many hours of darkness. Right now, it seems like the whole world is an Advent metaphor. And we really resonate with Psalm 130. My soul waits for the Lord more than watchmen for the morning. More than watchmen for the morning, because it takes forever for the sun to come up. And it often takes things feeling dark for us to remember how much we need the one who is our light. So in the midst of whatever darkness you find yourself today, in faith today we light the candle of hope. The first candle reminds us in our own times of waiting that we can trust that God has been and is and will be faithful to his promises to us. Advent is all about trust in the waiting times because years before Jesus came, the Lord's people had been living in a spiritual season of the doldrums. And for those of you who sail, you know that when the wind stops blowing, you're pretty much dead in the water. All you actually can do is wait. And for hundreds of years, people had been waiting for the Lord to move. But then in the days before Jesus' arrival, the winds changed. The Holy Spirit, who had been quiet for hundreds of years, now began to stir the hearts and lives all around this birth, moving in the life of the priest Zechariah and his wife Elizabeth, stirring up faith and joy in a young woman named Mary and her husband-to-be, Joseph, stirring up wonder and excitement in the hearts of the Magi in the east, seeing signs in the heavens that God was on the move. Something was changing. The Holy Spirit was stirring in the hearts of the prophetess Anna in the temple and speaking to the heart of Simeon, who heard the Lord say he would not die until he met the Lord's Messiah. Where there had been only silence for decades, now the whisper of the Spirit began to speak into many hearts, reminding people of the centuries-old prophecies of Joel and Isaiah about what God would do when he sent the Savior. And in the time of Joel, the people had been dealing with their own season of darkness, and through the prophet Joel, the Lord told them how they could find hope. He said, "Return to me. Come to me with all your weeping and mourning and fasting and prayer. Forget about the show of ripping your garments. Bring your ripped hearts to me. Come to me. Ask me. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love. Return to him, and he will fill you with the power to move you forward." And how would he do that? God said in Joel 2, "Afterward, I will pour out my spirit on all people." What God wanted to give was his own presence with them, with us. What he wants to give is more of himself, to pour out his spirit into the lives of his people. Men and women, young and old, will have visions and dreams and words from the Lord, and they will know he was and he is and he will be God with us. Our God wants to fill us with the power of his life. And yet we always seem to prefer our own feeble power in the darkness to living with him in the light of that gift. Why is that? Why do we resist asking God to fill us with this gift of his life? What are we afraid of? Well, Jesus reminds us in Luke 11, when kids ask us for what they need, we don't give them things that hurt them. We give them things that will help them because we love them. And Jesus said, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? The best of all good things is the gift of God's own presence in your life. It's the gift he most wants to give, and it's what Jesus came to make possible for us. Jesus' mission, his birth, his life, his death, his resurrection for us and for all broken humanity is how God opens up our present and future hope. God the Father sends Jesus the Son, Emmanuel, God with us, to open up the way for the Holy Spirit's life and hope to fill your life and mine here and now. And it's always been God's plan that he would share in your life and you would share in his. And we see that modeled in Jesus himself on earth. Jesus, who emptied himself of everything but his humanity in order to be our Savior, and yet he showed the power of God in his words and actions on earth as the Holy Spirit worked through him. Now, of course, because Jesus, as the Son of God, had never sinned, the Holy Spirit was able to work in his life on earth in powerful ways like no one had ever seen before. But Jesus told us that he came so that through his redeeming work for us, through his sacrifice on the cross, by making us clean, that same power of God's Holy Spirit would be able to be at work powerfully in our lives too. And our scriptures from Joel and Isaiah and Luke today show us where this begins. The grace-filled command that we hear this first Sunday of Advent is an invitation, a call for the Lord's people to return and receive, because the wind is changing and God is on the move for us. Think of it this way. Most of the time, we live our lives kind of like a kite that's fluttering around in the mud. A kite on the ground might stir a little bit in the wind. It might get lifted a little every once in a while, drift along the ground from time to time. But if that kite is ever lifted up to face into the wind, everything changes. Suddenly it's filled and it soars into the sky with a beauty and a strength it never had by itself. Return, receive. Because that's exactly what a kite is designed for. It's made to be turned into the wind, to be filled up, and to be moved by a power that's greater than itself. There's something really joyful about watching a kite. It's beautiful and breathtaking and somewhat unpredictable. There's give and take between the pull of the wind and how much rope you're willing to give. It's a dance. It's a beautiful dance. And that's what the Lord wants to do in our lives. God wants and has always wanted to share his life, his power with us, to empower our lives with his life, anchoring us through the truth of his word. We are empowered by the Holy Spirit to soar. It's how he designed us. We can only live this one life we are given here and now to the fullest. We can only be the best we're meant to be when, anchored by his word, the Spirit fills us and animates our lives the way they're meant to be lived, in cooperation with him in a dance of grace. It's his grounding, it's his empowering, it's our joy. And yet, most of the time, we waste time being bogged down in the mud, trying to wrestle up the strength to flop ourselves forward toward what the world tells us life is supposed to be about: money, power, success, achievement, all the while ignoring the fluttering breeze at our back, while the wind of the Spirit whispers, there is so much more. Turn. Receive. I see you there in the mud. There's so much more for you. Return. Receive. Turn to him into the wind of his spirit. Surrender your striving and receive the gift of his saving grace. Let go. See what the Lord wants to do in you. Through the prophets, God had been telling the world what the Messiah would come to do, to find us where we're stuck in the mud and to lift us up so his power could fill us with new life and set us free to live in the joy of his grace. The Messiah's call would be return, receive. And in our text today, we hear Jesus claim that mission as he reads the words of Isaiah in his hometown synagogue in Luke 4. Jesus went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. He began by saying to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Now, notice what Jesus isn't doing here. Jesus isn't commanding or instructing. He's not saying, "You should be free, so get yourself out of the mud." Jesus is not advising. "You really should think about strategies to improve your life." No. Jesus is proclaiming. He is announcing good news has come. Freedom, sight, and favor are yours. These are not things you do. This is a proclamation of what the Messiah does, is doing, and has done for you. In his book, Practicing the Way, John Mark Comer reminds us, we are so used to death, disease, injustice, and chaos that we forget they are intruders in God's good world. Jesus is proclaiming that these intruders have been and will be eternally defeated. They will have no power in the coming kingdom. And in this Messiah, that kingdom is ours forever. This is the mission statement and the victory statement of the Messiah. And did you notice where the power behind this mission comes from? "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim." Jesus, the Son of God on earth, fully cooperating with the power of the Holy Spirit of God, together are fulfilling the will of God the Father for you, for me. Who does Jesus give this message of his victory to? To those in the darkness who are seeking hope, to those who know that they need good news. So what about you? Our Advent journey begins when God's story connects with ours. Our brokenness, our hopelessness, our sadness, where our Savior meets us. So what do you need to hear from your Savior today, beloved, to trust and receive his good news is for you? Well, do you hear what the Savior is proclaiming today? Good news to the poor. Now, what does that mean? What that means is that what you have or don't have doesn't make any difference to your eternal value. The person that the world calls the most influential, most important, is of the same value to God as you are. No one in this world may know your name, but God knows you by name, and you are precious and irreplaceable to him. The riches of eternity are equally available to all who will receive Jesus' gift with a humble, grateful heart. The proclamation of good news to the poor means you yourself are priceless to him. Do you hear the good news, beloved? Jesus also came to proclaim recovery of sight for the blind. Now, there's so many things we just don't see in this world that Jesus wants to start to help us see. And recovery usually isn't something that happens all at once. It's a process. Learning to trust what you're seeing, to learn to trust a new way of seeing. And we're so blind to so much that's spiritually true, but Jesus wants to teach us how to see as he does. And the Holy Spirit will reveal more and more as we put our trust in him. Jesus proclaims recovery of sight to the blind. Are you ready to see more of what the Lord is up to in you and in the world? And Jesus proclaims freedom for prisoners and comes to set the oppressed free. Now, this is literally true, but we often also don't realize how much oppression we're living with and the things that have trapped us in bitterness or unforgiveness or discouragement, those things that oppress us, that keep us in the mud. But Jesus isn't telling us we should try to get free. He's proclaiming we are free. That all of those things are just temporary obstacles, like grass, here today, gone tomorrow. But he is the way and the truth and the life for us forever. We are free because Jesus came to proclaim this is the year of the Lord's favor for you. And what does that mean, the Lord's favor? If I were to say to you in your life right now in this moment, this is the year of the Lord's favor for you. This is the year of the Lord's love for you, the Lord's affection for you, the Lord's leading of you, the Lord's desire to fill you with his life. If you could hear that, if you could believe that, beloved, would you dare lift your face out of the mud and turn into the wind of his powerful grace, little kite? Do you know how much love it takes to lay down one's life for someone else? Do you understand you are loved like that by the King of Kings? That he saw your life as worth giving everything for, to see you lifted up, to see you filled with the life that truly is life. So what keeps you from turning toward him, for receiving for what he wants to give you? Does a good father give his children things that harm them or help them? Can you trust that our Heavenly Father wants to give you the best of all good things when he wants to give you the gift of his own life, his Holy Spirit to be at work in you? Return and receive, little kite, because there's so much more. And there's even more to the prophecy of Isaiah beyond what Jesus read in the synagogue, and words that actually sound a lot like what Jesus himself said in the Sermon on the Mount. He comes to comfort all who mourn, to provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. They will rebuild the ancient ruins and restore the places long devastated. They will renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations. Now, did you notice in that passage, about halfway through, it seamlessly transitions from talking about what he, the Messiah, will do in them, in us, and it moves to talking about what they, what we will become because of that gift of his grace for the sake of the world. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. Jesus' saving work is for the sake of building you up to be people who build others up. That's how his kingdom works. Jesus comes to find us in our darkness and give us the power of his light so that through our lives others can see his light. And his joy is seeing you fully alive as the Spirit works in you. Jesus, through his death and resurrection for us, is the one who lifts us up so that we can be filled by what the Father longs to give us, more of his own Spirit, his power, his joy, his life in us. So do you feel that stirring today? The nudge of the wind of his Spirit on your heart? Are you longing for more direction and purpose and a strength beyond your own? Return, beloved. Turn to Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. Receive the power and peace that doesn't come from you, but only from him. Because Jesus came to be the hope for the hopeless, peace for the anxious, freedom for the burdened, joy for the sorrowful, and a new beginning for those who see nothing but endings. He came to reconnect his eternal story to your story, beloved. His is a story that never ends. And in the power of his Spirit, the chapter he's writing in you has only just begun. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for meeting us here in the darkness where we look for hope. You are hope. And Lord, in this season of anticipation, of waiting to see what it is that you will do in us and through us, Lord, we pray that you would prepare our hearts to return to you, to turn our eyes, the eyes of our hearts to you, and to receive from you the gifts that you want to give us of your grace, your hope, your love, your joy, your peace, and most of all, more of yourself, your own Spirit, to be at work in our lives. Lord, we pray that in this season of Advent, that you would light each one of our hearts with each one of those things, our hope, joy, love, peace, that we would know your presence with us and in us. And Lord, we pray that your light through us would light this dark world that needs your hope. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.